recording. Okay, I'm sorry for the delay. I've had a, I haven't been here this week, so I'm a little behind. Okay, Revelation chapter 8. Now, here's the, we're getting into the trumpet judgments in Revelation. We're still in the seal judgment, so let me go over this real quick for you. We've looked at the seal judgments. There's actually seven of them. We have the four horsemen of the apocalypse that come through, the martyrs, a great earthquake, and now we're getting ready to get into the seventh seal, which has not been which is containing the trumpets. So the trumpet judgments are within the last seal. Within the trumpet judgments are the bowl judgments. So when Christ breaks this seal, everything comes loose. It gets really bad, and it's ramping up. It's getting more severe, more terrible. And so the judgments involved in this one seal continue on until the very end. And actually includes personages like the Antichrist and the false prophet, things of that nature. So it becomes very, very severe. Here's my question before we go into this. Is God trying to warn the world, or even America specifically, that people better change? And if he is warning people, how is he warning people right now? The what now?
Are you asking about at this point?
Right, even right now. We're going to be looking at judgment, but how is he warning people right now?
He's warning us with judgments of weather conditions.
Uh-huh.
What's going on in the Gulf Coast right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're talking about that hitting the whole world now.
Yeah, you think about it. For 2,000 years, Christians have always looked at natural disasters as God's warning signs. And we've gotten away from that because of the society we live in, because evolution has pushed a non-supernatural way of looking at things. Well, these are just natural occurrences. But you got to remember, God uses natural occurrences or unnatural occurrences like a volcano or anything like that to get people's attention.
If we look at this thing in the Gulf, what happened before that, I think we've talked about this before in the past, but when Obama rejected meeting with Netanyahu early on,
Right on the heels of it.
Right after that.
Yeah.
Right on the heels of that.
I'll recommend a book to you all called Eye to Eye by Bill Koenig. Eye to Eye by Bill Koenig. And you can go to Bill's, on my website, there's a link to Bill Koenig's website. And it's called Eye to Eye. What he does is trace every move the U.S. has made versus Israel and traces the natural disaster or the economic disaster that follows on the heels of everything we've done negatively to Israel. You want to see God's judgment, watch what people do to Israel. Have you noticed that people are becoming more anti-Semitic? They're now starting to blame the economy on the Jews and things of that, and it's just them. And it's like, we have the Holocaust, and one of the things that we have the Holocaust museums all over the world about is that we will never forget. This will never happen again. And you're thinking, oh my land, people are getting the same way again. They're getting anti-Semitic. They're blaming the Jews for everything. It's unbelievable. And this thing happening now with Israel, which is a complete setup. Bill Ayers was on another boat coming in behind them, apparently. It was a setup.
That's kind of what Pastor Rogers said.
Instead of warning them, they needed to blow them out of the water.
Well, they could have done a number of things. Israel has to blockade that Gaza Strip because they are constantly sending in arms to them. To the Gaza Strip, to the Palestinians. That's why they're blocking. It's not about food. They get plenty of food. It's the arms that are coming in. And what do you hear on the news? Nothing. Israel's so bad to them. How can they do this? They need to stop. You know, and it's like, what? Wait a second. Okay. So you have that. Watch the judgments that follow anytime, whether it's an American government or any European government gets anti-Semitic. Watch what happens either in a natural disaster, economically. Well, watch what happens to that country. God's foreign policy is clearly stated in the Bible. You mess with Israel, I will mess with you. That's the foreign policy of God, hands down. Any other thing that you see as far as warnings of God that are coming right now? Anything else?
The major earthquakes we've had in the last
year. Major earthquakes is another thing. All over the world, floods. the volcano in Iceland. Did you see that thing? It's unbelievable.
Did you hear what Helen Thomas said?
No. What?
Jews, that they all need to go back home.
Wow.
Right on the news. And they go, well,
yeah.
Where are they supposed to go? Germany, Poland, America.
Yeah. There was a, who's the other guy that was speaking at UC San Diego? David Horowitz. David Horowitz is phenomenal. He's a communist turned capitalist now. He's phenomenal. David Horowitz is wonderful. Speaking at San Diego, this chick gets up there at the this place he's talking at, and he's talking about radical Islam, obviously. She gets up in there in her Yasser Arafat burqa looking thing, you know, with the black and white thing. And he questions her and says, well, you know, do you support the Hamas and Hezbollah and all that? And she says, I'm not going to comment on that because I don't want to get in trouble. And then he says, well, then let me ask you this way, because I asked UC Santa Cruz this, and then I think he went to UC Santa Barbara, and they asked him, I don't know what's happened to our universities here in California, but the UC system's pro-Muslim. I've never seen anything. Pro-Taliban, pro-Hamas, pro-Hezbollah, I've never seen anything. She gets up there and asks her, then what would you rather, let me ask you this question, would you rather have all of us rounded up and brought to Israel so you can find us and come after us in Israel? She said, yes, absolutely. The school should have immediately expelled her for a terrorist statement like that, but what does the school do? Nothing to her. She's a terrorist right there on their campus. And you see this happening.
Stan Horowitz will never be able to talk to her again,
probably. Yeah, they'll never invite him again, and neither will UC Santa Cruz or UC Santa Barbara. They are nuts. You support Hamas, you're crazy. Okay, there's a judgment in that. When people start supporting evil, calling evil good, and that's when Isaiah said, you've got it all messed up here. That is a judgment on yourself. That means someone has been given over to a depraved mind. They cannot think straight anymore. Have you noticed a lot of people in politics or in the world scene, in our universities, cannot think straight anymore? What you are seeing is the judgment of God. The judgment is not, okay, when's God judge America? He already has started. And one of the ways he starts is depraving their mind. How does he do it? He just gives them over. God is actually holding back how evil people can get personally. He's preventing them from getting as evil as they can. But when God says, go at it, have at it, you want that, go for it, and people will run to it, they go into depravity. And it darkens their minds and it darkens their hearts to where you think, I think I'm rational, but they're like, I say the sky's blue, they say it's purple. And they truly believe the sky's purple. When you see that kind of mind, that is judgment in and of itself. And that is happening all across America right now. Depraved minds. Go ahead, David, and we'll come back over here.
The other issue is the homosexuality issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was watching O'Reilly in the last week and a half or so, and they had a poll on homosexuality, whether it was okay or not, and it's overwhelmingly okay in the U.S.
Yeah.
And amongst the conservative people that were in that group that we're talking, they all agree that it's all right, no problem.
That goes to Romans chapter 1, where Paul says the natural consequence of over depraved mind, the natural consequence then goes into lesbianism and homosexuality, and then he ends it and says, not only do they practice it, but they support others who do. They push it, Paul says. When you see that, as Paul is saying, he goes, you're now watching a culture that has been given over by God. So to say, well, when's God going to judge America? He already has started. He already is at work right now judging America.
The confusing part of that whole interview was that overwhelmingly everybody said that extramarital sex was not a good thing.
Hey, isn't that funny? And then they wanted to keep their own standards in the homosexual community. Well, we want to be monogamous. What? You can't even start there. You have to start somewhere else. Talk about monogamy. No. Monogamy is for heterosexuals. You shouldn't even be practicing this. They're just totally off.
Well, I think it's just no small thing that everything that's happening with the Gulf Coast right now, this oil thing, They say it's going to go until Christmas. I could see it going until sometime next year, and we have the most arrogant administration in the face of the earth, and they can't plug a 12-inch hole.
Did you? Let me.
Their own policies have done this because of the EPA and all the things that they have to do, and they're powerless to do anything about it.
Think about this. How long did it take them to react to things? Extremely slow, curiously slow to react to something, and you're and with Katrina and they're all over that. And they were at least all over Bush for not reacting fast enough to Katrina. We have our government that just sat back and watched this thing happen, and no one did a thing for 8 days. How long did it go? No one does anything.
And to prove that there is no reason there. They have in place a plan to light that thing on fire and let it burn.
Yeah.
Instead of destroying the whole Gulf Coast.
And the Eastern Coast.
The whole Eastern Coast and Gulf Coast, as that thing moves down through, they just let it go. And they could still light the thing on fire.
They could. They could take all the Navy vessels, wouldn't cost any of us to buy private money to hire firms to buoy this thing, get it together, and then light it on fire. They could do that, but they're not. And I don't know, no one knows why, except I think we have a few hunches. They want you to see on CNN and headline news, ducks and pelicans and birds covered in oil, don't they? Why?
Because they want to pass the
country.
They're anti-oil. They do not want any more offshore drilling, even though they said they were going to allow it.
It's more than that, though, Brian.
Yes, it goes deeper.
Because
yes.
It is as this little Delta smelt is to our Central Valley farmers.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is to the independent fishermen, because those people are fiercely independent down there. The only way they
yes.
can break their backs is by letting this happen, and then they're gone and gone for good, and corporations will come in and take out.
That's right. The shrimp boat guys, all that stuff, the crawdads and all that. That's where we get a lot of our shrimp from, the Gulf Coast. It's bigger.
It destroys the private industry.
It's right. It's destroying the private industry. If you're a private contractor, private man, you are going the way of the dodo in this country. They do not want private small businesses. They just not want that.
Isn't this a precursor to, like,
absolutely
the destruction of the animals and stuff that's talked about in the Bible?
Sure. I think it's a precursor to the one world government seizing control of things. And you have the way you seize control is the Saul Alinsky tactic, is you create a crisis, a fake crisis, or in this case, letting the crisis get out of hand. So, see, guys, we got to get together. We can't have this. We got to get some federal regulations on this. In fact, we're going to have global regulations, and we're going to tax people who do this kind of stuff. You don't let us drill in our own nation. Now, let me get specific. If you don't let us drill in our own nation, we are then dependent on the Middle East. And you have Muslims in control of us. They will make laws for us under Sharia law on Americans, saying you can't do this, you can't do that. And then after that, you'll have a one world government telling you what you can and can't do. Before you know it, you will be riding a bike to work. Because you Americans, they'll say, are burning too much energy. You need to cut back. Oh, you like your house at 72? No, you're going to run it at 82. And we're going to tell you. Because don't you guys realize there's an energy consumption here? It's coming. They have to control what's going on in your house. They have to control the energy. They want a gas crisis. Don't think gas is not going to go up. It's going to go up, big time. And we'll come back to Mike. I know Mike had a hand.
They've already put out things for PG&E where you can install the thermostat that they can control your house temperature.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. That's already there, Mike.
I was just going to say, don't they say the way to control the masses is to control the food?
Bingo.
So by the end, it's the Delta smelt.
Delta smelt.
Down there in the Gulf, the fuel.
Fuel. You have to have commercial industry to move food.
They are in a roundabout way doing it where people aren't paying attention to what's going on, but it's pretty obvious. It's right there.
It's right there. Now, here's the deal. If you and I went out to Valley Plaza right now and start talking to people in the plaza, they say, what are you talking about? There's a reason why you get it. It's the Holy Spirit that has revealed the truth. To you and I, as we read the scriptures, we know where it's heading. You talk to the common person, they're blind to this. They don't understand. They're not connecting dots. That's what's really important. You are there, folks. You are there. You're seeing it all, how it's going to come together. Now, here's the question that we're going to see in the text. You're going to see God pour out his wrath on humanity and on the earth. But I want you to see this. There is mercy in the midst of judgment. There is mercy right now going on in America that God is extending to America, along with the judgments that are happening. There's mercy. You will see, even in the harshest judgment, there are mercy extended. And I want you to see that, understand that, because no matter what situation you're put in, whether it's in temptation, whether it's the vice grip of some trial you're going through, there will always be acts of mercy involved in that. So it will be a person, it might be financially, God will help you. There's an act of mercy that will come in your situation that God gives relief to. That it's not as bad as it can be. God is that, that's how God is showing his mercy. So watch this and see this in these judgments. Let's read the text. Verse 1. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. I wonder why. Because the judgments that are about to happen are so terrible and awful, all of heaven is silenced in awe about what is about to sound. That is how severe these are becoming, that they're, all the noises in heaven stop. The angels that cry, holy, 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 stop. And it is dead silent. No one's even worshiping because they are seeing what is about to happen. That should give you some awe and intrepidation about what's about to take place. So then what does it happen? And I saw the seven angels who stand before God. So these are presence angels. Perhaps Michael's one of them and Gabriel's one of them and the five others, we don't know their names. And to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which the prayers of the saints ascended before God, from God, from the angel's hand. Stop right there. What prayers specifically offered at this point? Turn to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. This is the prayer that is ascended before God. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. Now here's their prayer. How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who are the earth dwellers? Then a white robe was given to them, to each of them. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So that prayer right there, how long until you avenge our blood, is now being offered to God. It's filling up the throne room, and that is now going to be answered. Here's an application real quick off of prayer. God will sometimes say yes to your prayer, but there's a delay in the answering of it. Have you ever noticed that? He says affirmative yes, and you want it to be like tomorrow. And it says, no, this is going to be 6 months from now, or a year from now, or you have to wait that long. The ones he does say yes to and gives the affirmative to, sometimes there is a delay. And in this situation, he delays the answering of the prayers of the martyrs, which is a righteous prayer, till now. And now he's ready to answer that prayer and put it into fruition. So that's what you're seeing in this situation. Now watch. And the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. So in there's some symbolism here. These are actual coals from the throne of God, or from the throne room of God, that burn with the prayers. The prayers, the incense would be put on the coals, and that would burn and fill the whole room in the sanctuary. There is, what's happening is, their prayers are being answered, and it's being symbolized by the act of the angel throwing the coals to the earth. Because the coals are coming from where the prayers would be burning, so to speak. You understand what I'm trying? I hope I'm making sense. Because you have the altar of incense, and you have the coals burn, and then the priest would put the incense all over the coals, and it would burn, and it would fill the whole room with that fragrant scent. In essence, he took those coals symbolically, and he's doing this, but he's casting them to the earth, saying those prayers are now going to be answered in judgment as they come to the earth. Now, first judgment. Then the angel took the censer, filled it from the earth, and threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So even before the judgment starts happening, cosmic disturbance start invading the planet. Everyone around the planet is hearing thunders, light, and seeing lightning. There's a giant earthquake, and it shakes the whole planet. So everybody's paid attention to now. Everybody's woke up. So here we go. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees, and of the trees were burned up, and of all the green grass was burned up. So what struck the first thing?
Fire.
What, hail, fire, and blood is mixed into this hail. So when they explode on the ground, they light things on fire, but yet there's blood everywhere as well from them. I don't know what all of this entails. I take the Bible for what it says. If it says blood, fire, it's all there. You take it like it is. That's exactly, it's pointing back to Moses.
Could the blood be the blood of the martyr?
It could be actually, I'm frozen. Can you punch me through?
Exploding and causing fires. There's got a third of the vegetation. There's got to be people involved in that.
There's people involved. There's no doubt about that. There we go. Okay. Let's keep going. Just go ahead and click. Just space bar. There we go. Okay. So let's roll through this real quick. Silence and have fires thrown to the earth. Noises of judgment. The seven angels prepare the sounds of the sound of the trumpets. Okay. So trumpet number one. A third of the vegetation is struck by hail, fire, and blood. I don't know what this is. This could actually be a meteor shower. I don't know. Maybe an angel brings a meteor shower to our earth, and it pelts the earth. The blood comes from the killing of people as it hits the earth, or the blood is actually in it. I don't know. Something is pelting the earth to where a third of the vegetation is destroyed. A third. Third. A third. A third. I want you to keep thinking of that. A third. A third. Okay? So, well, back up right there. So this is what that volcano caused in Iceland. So a third of the grass, the vegetation, and the trees are gone from the planet. Think of the ramifications, folks, of losing wheat fields, barley fields, crops, things of that nature, what that does to the food supply. I want you to think through the indirect consequences of all the vegetation being burned up. How about for animals? What would it do to cattle that cannot graze? They'll die. You will not have any cattle, herd animals, cows, sheep, goats. Those are food products as well. Now the food product is being hit by this. So, but again, two-thirds is not. Why? What is the theme of what I want you to look for? Mercy and judgment. Not entirely, but just one-third. But it does cause chaos, as you can see the ramifications of even a third of our vegetation on this planet being lost.
Something that drastic, though, probably could take out a third of the population.
Absolutely. There are casualties from this, but indirectly, and I want you to see this, it's indirect casualties. Death will happen to humans indirectly, because the next trumpet judgments, the further judgments, actually inflict humans directly. These are indirect judgments on humans. It works through things. You know what I mean? Cheryl.
At what point does it cost a day's wage for local barley?
It's happened before this. It's already happening. So it gets worse. Now I don't know what. Now people are scrounging around trying to find anything. That's old news. That happened several months before that, to where it was that economic week. But now, this is in the middle of the first 3.5 years. There's no control over this. It's coming all over the planet. So maybe it's a meteor shower. I don't know. But you've seen movies where meteors hit the planet. You just think of a whole shower of them hitting. And this is not Moses' meteors or hail was local on Egypt. This one is worldwide. This is cosmic. Punch me through. Trumpet 2. Let's read that. The second angel sounded, and then something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. So basically, trumpet number two, a third of the seas are struck by either a giant meteor or a volcano. He just sees a giant mountain that's going thrown into the sea. So it actually could be either a meteor or a giant volcano like the one in Iceland. And it causes a third of the seas to become blood. The Nile became blood in Egypt with Moses. Now the entire one-third of the planet is now blood.
We've talked about nuclear devastation.
Could be.
Could the one-third that becomes blood be because of the aquatic, the one-third of the animals that are dying?
I think it's all related. Where if this was a meteor, if a meteor struck that third of the planet, then those ships, a third of the ships are destroyed on the seas, and a third of the aquatic animals around this area would be destroyed, obviously. Now, here's the key. If this meteor strikes a strategic point on the planet, it can do more damage. Striking the top of our planet would not hurt a lot of things because you're hitting the North Pole or the South Pole. There's not a lot of people that live up there, not a lot of ships. But if this thing struck in the Mediterranean, good night. Good night. If this struck in the, and most of my commentators who talked about this said it struck the sea. There's only one sea in the Bible always refers to, and guess what sea it is? The Mediterranean. If it strikes the Mediterranean, think what it would do to Europe. Think what it would do to North Africa and Israel and all that. All those vessels in that air wiped out. The aquatic animals wiped out. This, think about if you wipe out fish. What does that mean?
Food supply.
Food populations are shifted around because most of those Mediterranean places, they eat fish. You're in Italy, you're in Greece, they're eating fish all the time. You wipe out all the fish in the Mediterranean, those populations start starving. That's it. You're done. So it gets bad. And then the ships are destroyed. If ships are destroyed, what does that mean? Can't move things. Can't ship things. Commercialism goes down. You got a problem. Is that me or you?
That's you.
Okay. This was the volcano in Iceland, and you can see the devastation that started coming from that volcano, and these are the light storms and stuff like that. But I want you to see what one volcano did, covering up the skies. You cover up the skies for very long like that, you'll lose all the vegetation. The animals were running and stuff. Let's go to the third trumpet. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of the water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died, this is indirectly, from the water because it was made bitter, or poison is the idea. This is a demon. This is not a meteor. When you see a reference to a star falling, stars are always angels. If it was a meteor, I would back you up to, you know, the second trumpet. The name of the demon is what?
Wormwood.
His name is given to him because that's what he causes. He causes the waters to become wormwood or bitter or poison. So God is now using demons to enact judgments. Does that surprise you? God will use evil many times to accomplish his will. So he allows wormwood, a demon, to come on and make all the fresh water poison. So now you have a problem. People can't drink fresh water. Many people died too. Fourth, let's go to the fourth trumpet.
Friend.
Yes.
So stars are always angels, but if they're falling, it's a demon?
Yeah, or usually, yeah, anytime you see stars, it means angels. A fallen star is demons. Like in Revelation 12, it said a third of the stars fell with Lucifer. We obviously know it wasn't, you know, suns and stuff like that. It was, demons. We know from a physicist standpoint, if a sun fell on us, it'd destroy our planet. That's what a star is a sun. But when in this connotation, angels are always referred to stars. And so the star's name or this demon's name that's fallen is Wormwood. So now you move to the fourth trumpet. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. This means a 16-hour day, not a 24-hour day, but it's now the day has been moved to a 16-hour day. because I mean, as far as light is concerned, you're only getting six that part of the day. So a third is removed. Two thirds is dark. That's what I mean. A third of the day did not shine. Likewise, the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to sound." So a third of the natural light is struck. This creates a 16-hour day. This is just from the volcano in Iceland. Imagine your day being like this and no light. Vegetation's gone. What would it happen if the sun is darkened by a third? Food supply is gone. The moon is darkened. No stars are getting through the atmosphere. So all natural light is not penetrating our atmosphere. How about the temperature? It's freezing. You are freezing to death. You are actually going into a mini ice age at this point in time. Because you cut off the sun, man, and for that extended amount of time, and I don't know how long this lasts, everything will freeze. You will freeze to death on this. So now, indirectly, people are dying because they're freezing to death. By the way, when we get to the other judgments, they will burn to death because eventually the sun comes on and scorches people. And so it's going back and forth, back and forth. I'm going to freeze you out, then I will burn you.
In the Greek, it says screaming angel.
Yes.
And he's saying destruction, destruction, destruction.
Yeah.
What he's screaming.
And why would God send this? Either it's a seraphim or a cherubim, because it could be interpreted not angel, but eagle. He sends an eagle into the atmosphere. What this is an angel who has eagle-like features. One of the cherubim around the throne, in fact, all four of them have eagle heads. So this cherubim, so it's not unlikely that when you see angels, don't think of them always as males. Sometimes angels have animal-like features. This particular angel has eagle features. Probably has an eagle head, and he looks like an eagle, but he's an angel. God sends an eagle in the skies around the planet. They will see a real angel proclaiming, "Woe, oy vey, oy vey, oy vey," to the earth dwellers. Because the next year of trumpet judgments are coming right to you. What now has happened is God has indirectly judged man. The next trumpet judgment will directly affect man personally, right to his core. These are indirect. So now that's why the angel is warning. He's warning. He's warning. Here it comes. Here it comes. What is that? God is warning people.
It's mercy.
It's mercy in judgment. Get right. Except Yeshua.
If somebody was to get right between the start of this up to the 3.5-year point of no return, would they be taken out of it instantly at that time, or would they still have to wait until the 3.5-year mark?
They'll have to go through it. At this point, they'll have to go through it. There'll be a lot of martyrs. There'll be a lot of people, even Christians, killed. That's the price of pain, of waiting. They waited too long. Yes, God can save them, but he's not going to spare them from physical death in this situation. They'll either be killed by the natural judgments or be martyred. And so the only hope they have is Jesus promised them they will not be hurt by the second death. They could be hurt by the first death, though, physical death. So
another compromise that's happened also is the air.
Absolutely.
What happened when the trees were killed? Because they reoxygenated.
So think about it. Lack of oxygen. But look at the mercy involved in this. I'm going to judge the planet, but I'm going to first start with the creation instead of man, and I'm going to hope to get his attention, because I'm not going to directly judge him. I'm going to indirectly judge him with his environment. Folks, that's what you see now. Anytime you see natural disasters, it's God's way of saying, wake up call. I can bring this all to a stop right now, but I'm going to wake you up with a volcano or a tsunami or this or that, because I'm going to allow this to happen, just like he's allowing this to happen, because this is my mercy and I'm trying to get your attention. Wake up. Wake up.
Up until this point, man has always been able to manage his way out of disasters. At this point,
it's beyond control.
No management.
Oh, they're...
And they have to realize that it is God that is doing it.
Absolutely.
So during the seven seals, you still have that chance to repent?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They still have a chance. Because right now, even on the scene, the 144,000 are still going gangbusters, still spreading the gospel. There's angels now flying in the air. I mean, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what does. If I see a cherub in the air speaking, before that I didn't know, but after I see angels, now I know, okay? I mean, after a while you think, goodness sake, what else does God have to do? Yes, Jim. Yes, isn't that funny? The pantheistic mindset of pagan man. Paul said, when they refuse to acknowledge the Creator, Paul said, what will they do? They will then worship the creation. I think it'll be part of the whore. Part of the whorish religion, the false church, is that the earth is alive, or it's a form of pantheism, which is very ancient and very pagan, but that God lives in the rock and the tree and he's in there, and or a pantheist who would say the tree is God. But you're going to see a version of that where people will be hopped up on worshiping the creation, basically, as God says. Here's a funny thing. Guess what they worship in Mecca? You ever see them go to Mecca and they go, thousands and thousands of these Muslims dressed in white, and they go around the Kaaba. You know what's in the Kaaba? A black meteor. They're worshiping a black meteor in the Kaaba. And they know they're not supposed to worship idols, and they are idolatries, just like a rank pagan. Worshiping a meteor that hit the ground that's in the Kaaba.
So that could end up being world religion.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to tell you what, you see the beginning points now. This worshiping of the earth and stuff, God is going to dismantle it. Just like he dismantled. Think about the Egyptians. I want you to see the parallel with Moses. Why were the specific judgments of Moses given to Egypt? Because that was their gods. God attacked every one of their gods. And in this situation, he's going to attack the world's gods at that point in time. So he's attacking the earth, Mother Earth. There you go, Mother Earth. Take that. Go worship her. See if Mother Earth can change my hailstorm or my meteor that hits her. See if Mother Earth can defend herself. God has proven himself. I am the one who made this, and I'm the one that can take it down.
You see that?
Brother Bear, or what's that movie? Brother Bear, or whatever. What's it called? What's the movie called?
Brother Bear.
Is it Brother Bear? Brother Bear 2. I mean, then you got, you know, Little Mermaid. Then you keep going, and it's like, who's writing the Disney cartoons? A pantheist? Is Al Gore writing Disney cartoons? Maybe. I gotta run, man. We'll see you next week. Bye bye. I'm getting there.